I'm sorry, my staff did stuff in the back and I think it caused an issue. So we are ready to get started when you are, Madam Chair. However, I did want to do a quick housekeeping since it has been some time since we've had our TAC members in person. We do have coffee and refreshments out in our break room, and we have waters in the drawer, and our bathrooms are to the side. You do all have tablets in front of you. You can ignore them. There may be pop-ups that come up. Just ignore it, and if anything happens, my staff will take care of it for you. It's just letting you know that you're being spotlighted, so that way the audience knows who's speaking. So we're ready to go.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to call to order the July 7th, 2021 meeting of the TPA's Technical Advisory Committee. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. Instruction to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance are provided in the published meeting agenda. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I am only asking those TAC members attending in person to respond by saying here when I call your name. I want to remind you to unmute your microphone by pushing the button on the base prior to responding. When it's red, it means you're live. And alternates, please state your name if you are attending on behalf of a TAC representative. Jim Bell. Maria Tahara.
Here.
Gary Dunmeyer. Richard Pereira.
Here.
Kenny Wilson. Thomas Driscoll. Jamie Brown.
Jin Lan on behalf.
Here.
Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow for Natalie.
Kim Glass Castro. Can you do me a favor, Aramis, and turn your microphone on?
Iramis Cabrera, is it working?
Yes, thank you. Gary Sipek.
Will Hicks for Gary Sipek.
Brian Davis.
Present.
Levi McCollum.
Anna Bielewska for Levi McCollum.
Aaron Hoffman.
Here.
Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Christopher Marsh is absent. Joyce Kai.
Here.
Brian Cargill. Kim Delaney. Michael O'Dell.
Here.
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 Alex Hansen.
Here.
Kevin Volbrick.
Here.
John Crane.
Here.
Modisim Alturk.
Here.
Kara Ferris.
Here.
We have a quorum in person, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Moving on to modifications to the agenda. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. Pursuant to state law, a quorum of the TAC must be present, must be physically present at the advertised meeting site in order to conduct the meeting and take action as a body. However, the Florida Attorney General has previously opined that so long as a quorum is physically present at the meeting site, additional members may participate remotely, provided that they have a significant circumstance that justifies their absence, with significant circumstance being reasonably determined by the physically present members. I have a few members that have provided a brief explanation of the significant circumstance preventing their in-person attendance. I will read the list so that the committee may determine if these members will be admitted into the meeting as a virtual participant. Please note that voting members approved to participate remotely will be unable to participate in debate, and also that they must vote unless they have documented a conflict of interest on a particular item. First, I have Kim Delaney. She has a personal matter that requires her to be home today. Next, I have Joyce Kai. They have a staffing shortage at the school district that requires her to be in attendance at work. I have Chang Jen Lan, who has health concerns related to the Delta variant and is unable to attend in person. Additionally, I do have that Jim Bell joined as a remote participant, but I did not get a reason provided for his virtual attendance.
TAC members, are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? Okay, seeing none, these members are approved to participate remotely. Margie, please note their attendance in the minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Next, are there any changes to the minutes for June 2nd, 2021? If not, can I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So move.
Second.
Second. Okay. Okay. I have a motion by Alex Hansen and a second by Aaron Hoffman. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Next is general public comments and public comments on agenda items. As a reminder, there are three ways to provide public comments for this meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by a virtual attendee using the raise hand feature in the Zoom platform. Verbal and written comments may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available at the welcome table. Staff, have any general comments been received?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Moving on, next is comments from the chair and member comments. I don't have any specific comments to make. At this time, I would like to invite any TAC members comments on items not already on the agenda. For members participating remotely, please utilize the raised hand feature in the Zoom platform and then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. In-house, we raise the cards for those that haven't been here for a while. Margie, do we have any raised hands?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Moving on to the TAC liaison report, I'd like to invite Connor to provide an update.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everybody. Glad to have you all here in person today. I have a couple items to go over for this morning. The first one is DOT will be conducting a virtual and an in-person meeting for the George Bush Boulevard project on Thursday, July 8th. This virtual meeting will begin at 5 o'clock with registration and registration link in the report. The in-person meeting will begin at 6 p.m. 434 South Swinton Avenue in Delray Beach, Florida, 33444. The Florida Local Technical Assistance Program Center, or LTAP, is hosting a transportation symposium webinar series through the month of July. To review the full calendar of webinars and register, please visit the following link in the report. The TPA Governing Board will be held on July 15th at 9 a.m., both in person and virtually. To view the agenda packet and the meeting details, please visit palmbeachtpa.org/board. A public hearing on the PD&E study for the widening of Florida's Turnpike from Jupiter to Fort Pierce will be held on Thursday, July 22nd at 5:30 in person in Port St. Lucie and in Stewart and online. For more information, please visit treasurecoastturnpike.com. The next round of pedestrian and bicycle high visibility enforcement, or HVE, funding became available July 1st. For more information or to apply for the funding, please visit alerttodayflorida.com/HVE. Applications for federal Rebuilding America Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity RAISE grant can be submitted through July 12th. Projects can be submitted for a maximum grant award of $25 million. Please visit transportation.gov/raise grants for more details. I do have one other item for you today. So for those of you in person, you may have noticed there's an annual report on the desk in front of you. We did just produce a new annual report, so we wanted to provide a copy to you all. For those attending online or listening in, the annual report can be available on the TPA website at palmbeachtpa.org/annual report. And that is all I have for you all today. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. We do have a video that my staff will restart in a second. It is an item from our annual report. It is a video about the TPA. We do have it posted on our website as well, but we'll restart it so that the TAC can see it from the beginning.
Palm Beach County is the gateway to the beauty and splendor of South Florida. This world-class county is over 1,900 square miles and the home to nearly 1.5 million people, representing 39 municipalities. It features an efficient transportation system for pedestrians, bicycles, buses, trains, cars, planes, and boats. It takes a dynamic and eco-friendly devoted team to plan, prioritize, and fund this system, a team with a vision to execute a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. The Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency, or TPA for short, is that and so much more. The governing board is made up of 21 locally elected officials. As an independent agency, the TPA has its own staff and four advisory committees. The TPA has adopted a complete streets policy, ensuring that its projects accommodate transportation users of all ages and abilities. The TPA is also a Vision Zero agency, allocating resources to eliminate traffic-related fatalities and serious injuries. We advance our vision by adopting a funding program that allocates over $600 million annually, including gas taxes at the federal, state, and local levels, toll revenues, license and impact fees, and more. The TPA invests in multimodal transportation projects that help build a better and brighter future. This includes construction of state and local roadways, investing in technology to maximize the efficiency of existing infrastructure, and advancing our transit vision. With $3.4 billion for the Transportation Improvement Program, there is so much more on the horizon for our growing county. We're connecting communities to deliver a better transportation system. But to make it happen, we want to hear from you. Get involved with the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency. Tell us your priorities, from pedestrian and bicycle safety to traffic congestion and everything in between. Visit palmbeachtpa.org to get involved and learn more.
Thank you very much. Staff, are there any public comments on the TAC liaison report?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison report? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to action items. The first is a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal year FY23-27 list of project priorities. I'd like to invite Andrew, the TPA Deputy Director of Program Development, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. I'll be presenting on the list of priority projects for fiscal year 2023 to 2027. And for you today, actually, we're going to be going through the list of priority projects, which covers our three main funding programs at the TPA, where we directly prioritize federal and state funds towards projects. And so it's going to be a joint presentation. It's going to be myself and two of the other staff here at the TPA who manage those specific programs. So they'll introduce themselves when they come up to present. So again, this is a list of priority projects for fiscal year 2023 to 2027. This is actually a required in state statutes to submit a list to FDOT so they can build their next version of the work program for FDOT. And ultimately, we build our transportation improvement program. See if we can get the clicker working. Okay, there we go. Our mission to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system focuses here on the prioritization process. And then here is a timeline of the development process. So starting from product development, going all the way to the transportation improvement program. And so this is really a multi-year process to go towards the approval of a new transportation improvement program. So last month, we adopted the fiscal year 2022 to 2026 transportation improvement program. And this is the first time this committee takes an action on something towards moving towards that transportation improvement program. So it all starts with product development. So over the past year, we work with locals. They submit products for our local initiatives and transportation alternatives programs. We also come up with other products looking through the work programs for resurfacing jobs and other products out of our comprehensive plan or our long-range transportation plan. And those all get vetted and then prioritized for our list of priority products for you today. And again, it covers state road modifications, which are products on state roads, local initiatives, and transportation alternatives. And then once that list is adopted and sent to FDOT, they then start working to draft their next version of the draft tentative work program, where they review those priorities and try to submit them or put them in there with the other priorities for the state from the strategic intermodal system and other products of significance. And then lastly, we get that draft work program later on next year, and we start building the transportation improvement program off that. So we combine all the products that are federally state funded from the work program, and then we add in local products from local capital programs. And so we have three main funding categories that we're going to be going through today. This is the ones that we have direct oversight for the funding for, and that's our state road modifications, which are products on our state roadways using state gas taxes. It's our local initiatives program that uses federal surface transportation funds, which is a federal competitive application process we have at the TPA. And then also transportation alternatives, which is a competitive application process we have at the TPA that also uses federal surface transportation funds. And so we're going to have our staff who coordinate these programs talk in more detail about them individually. And so I'd like to invite Connor to present first.
Thank you, Andrew, and good morning again, everybody. My name is Connor Campobasso, and I am the LRTP coordinator. And with that, I also manage the State Road Modifications Program here at the TPA. And if you're not as familiar with the State Road Modifications Program, that's okay. It's a relatively new program that we have here at the TPA. The intent of it is to essentially enhance existing roadways and upcoming state projects to achieve the TPA's mission and vision. It does this through the addition of safety implementations, complete streets improvements, transit technology and resiliency projects, mainly consisting on the state roadways. The program has about $20 million allocated to it with state funds. That being said, there are we try to maximize the funding as much as we can. So if you take a look in the TIP right now, you'll notice a larger sum of money dedicated to the program. And that's just from the TPA trying to, again, maximize those funds. Now, there are two types of projects with this program. There's essentially new projects, so brand new projects that are just being thought of. And then there's also modifications to existing projects. So for new projects, any new project that gets funded with this program is typically going to be funded in the new fifth year of the TIP, while modifications are typically added to the project in whatever year that that project is funded. So if it's modifications to the construction, those funds will be typically added to that same year. And that is, of course, pending funding availability. So I did want to highlight a couple of the requests that we are making through the priority list. And I'm going to first start off with the projects that came out of our US 1 corridor study. So the first request is for construction funding for a lane repurposing project in the city of Boca Raton. The second is design and construction funding for a complete streets project in the city of West Palm Beach. And we are also seeking feasibility funding for a lane repurposing project in the city of Lake Worth. We also received a request from the village of North Palm Beach to delete the project from the list of priority projects on the US 1 corridor. So aside from the US 1 projects, there are a couple other ones that we wanted to highlight as well. So addition into that, we are requesting PD&E study funding for fiscal year 2023 for the Tri-Rail extension into Jupiter. We are also seeking program transit signal prioritization funding for the Lake Worth Enhanced Transit Project. And we are also looking to accelerate right-of-way and construction on Atlantic Avenue for the widening of from Lyons to Jog Road. And per the request of the TPA board, we are also looking to modify the scope to include separated bike lanes throughout the project. And finally, we are looking to program an additional 4 new projects, as well as 3 additional modifications in the new priority list. So I've put them up on the slide here, but I'll briefly go through them all. So the first two are actually TPA requests. So we're adding, as staff, adding these projects into the priority list. The first being a complete streets project in Forest Hill, on Forest Hill Boulevard. We are looking to add roadway lighting on the north side and pedestrian lighting throughout the project. We're looking to add a bus layover facility, enhance crosswalks at some signals. And then we are looking to add green markings in conflict zones for the bike lanes. The second TPA project request is on Congress Avenue from Lake Worth Road to Forest Hill Boulevard. And we are seeking to add pedestrian lighting, enhanced crosswalks at 6 signalized intersections, as well as bus stop amenities. The third project on here is actually a city request from the city of Boca Raton, and they are seeking to replace span wires with mast arms in several areas throughout the city, as well as some additional upgrades as well. The fourth one on here, again, is a TPA request on State Road 7 from Glades Road to Bridgebrook Drive. And we're looking to modify a resurfacing project to add a shared use pathway on the west side of the road, as well as sidewalk on the east side, and add pedestrian lighting and green markings in the bicycle lanes at conflict zones. The fifth project on here is the Boynton Beach Boulevard from Congress to I-95 project, in which we are seeking to modify, again, both a resurfacing project as well as a interchange capacity project to provide wider sidewalks and separated bike lanes on both sides of the roadway. And finally is a DOT project. DOT requested this project to be added to the priority list on Indian Town Road at Central Boulevard. They are seeking PD&E funding to evaluate congestion mitigation alternatives with minimal adverse impacts to pedestrians, bicyclists, as well as local businesses. And that is all I have for my section. I will pass it back over to, I believe, Andrew.
Can we ask questions at this point?
I mean, up to you all, what you all want to do, if you want to sit power forward or...
You have a question for Connor?
Yes.
Okay, next question.
I did not see the project to upgrade the span wires on the state highway system on within the county that we submitted. I see that the Boca Raton project is listed there, but ours is not. So is it listed somewhere else?
Mo, if I can have you bring the microphone closer for me too. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You wanna... Yeah, sure. I believe that one, so these are just new projects being added. I believe that project is actually already on the priority list. So in the backup, there's the full priority list available. And I think, let's see, do you have the number?
Yeah,
sure.
There you go. Okay. Looking at 20-2 and 20-4.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so if you take a look at the state road modification section in the priority list, it is the rank 20-2 and 20-4. And those also have FM numbers assigned to it too, so you can take a look in the TIP for that as well.
Thank you. So we'll move on to local initiatives. This is one of our competitive application processes using those federal and state federal funds, roughly $22 million a year. I wanted to mention that the person who leads this program is actually our transportation improvement program coordinator, Jason Price, and he's not able to be here today. And so I'm taking his role here today, but he's the one who manages this program and works with FDOT and the applicants to push these projects forward. So these really go towards advancing lower cost, non-regionally significant transportation products identified by our communities. It's an application process. So we get submittals every year and it's a max of $5 in reimbursement and with a minimum of $250,000. And really we have this scoring system that is goes towards furthering our goals and objectives at the TPA. An important thing to note on this is the timeline of when funds available. So typically for these ones that are prioritized, design occurs in year three and then construction occurs in year five. So when they're submitted by our locals and we try to program them in the new transportation improvement program, they're gonna have design in the third year and then construction's 5 years out. Some priority highlights that we wanted to provide for you all. First is to fully fund the prioritized products that were not funded from the 2020 grant cycle. So if you remember last year, we prioritized as the TPA, the State Road 80 lighting. And so we put a lot of these surface transportation funds from local initiatives on that program. And so we weren't able to fully fund projects from the 2020 grant cycle. So there's $12 million going towards those products. And in the table, I wanted to mention to highlight them because they're not on our PowerPoint. In the table, those are projects 20-1 all the way to 20-6. So the only one that we're allowed to, we were able to prioritize last year and fund was 20-2. So 21, 23, 20-4, 20-5, and 20-6 are all ones at the top of this list of priority projects to be funded first from this amount of funding available. Next are the new applications that we received for the 2021 grant cycle. Is what we're looking to prioritize and have programmed into the next transportation improvement program. You'll see in our packet that we had five products that were shown, but the TPA staff recommends combining the products that were submitted by the county for Prosperity Farms Road, which is designated bike lanes. They originally had two products, but combining that project because it's one long segment and it still stays under the $5 million of reimbursement cap. So we're suggesting to include those as one project. So the total amount requested for those four products together is $14.5 million. And just wanted to point out that we're gonna see how that plays out when we get the projects prioritized and then try to fund in a draft tentative work program, which you'll see later on this year, and how that will impact where those are slotted. We're really hoping that we can fund all these projects though with the available revenues. Here's that list of the 2021 applications, and I'll go through them. And so you've seen the first column, the TPA score. Then we have the applicant, the location, the description, and the funding request, and then a status. And the status is really determined on if it was an eligible project going through the vetting process, if there's no significant flaws in that. It's also where we point out if there's anything from our guidelines for the local initiatives process that we wanted to flag for you all to be aware of. And so I'll go through this individually. The first is Tri-Rail. It has requested another passenger rail car. This is a similar product as last year. It's requesting $2.5 million for that. Next is that combined project for Palm Beach County Prosperity Farms Road from North Lake to Donald Ross. And that's 4 foot and 5 foot designated bike lanes for around $5 million. And we're flagging this one just to show that it says less than 25 points. So our scoring criteria right now in the what we have for LI, it's 100 points total, but we put into the scoring guidelines earlier on this past year, a threshold of 25 points is a minimum. We as staff wanted just to flag those, and we still have in our priority list. We always want to flag those to show you that's part of our scoring system. Typically, though, what we're seeing from these projects is a lot of them are sort of staying around the teens or in the 20s. So we're not going any higher than that because it's a well-rounded scoring rubric. So we just wanted to flag those because that's something that you all put into place in a previous year. Next is the Indian Trail Improvement District has three roadways to provide unpaved pathways and widened sidewalks in different locations. That's Temple Boulevard, Hall Boulevard, and 140th Ave North. Again, this one it has that less than 25 points scoring system. And I also wanted to point out that another requirement we have in the LI program is for products that are on a single family residential lots, we typically require a higher level of public outreach to ensure that those property owners who may be impacted with their driveways or any other types of things they put it into the right of way, that they're just aware of the projects and that they show their support. For this specific project, ITID wasn't able to meet the total threshold. I think they only had about nine households on the corridor who submitted their opposition or support for it, and they had three people opposed. So it was, in that sense, it was 33% who were opposed. But they did have a lot of public outreach on this, and they had support from other community organizations and other residents in the area, and they feel confident in the project, and I think we do too. So that's why we still have it on the list here. And next is the West Palm Beach project, Mercer Avenue, from Australian Ave to Center Park Boulevard. This has complete streets, bike lane project, about $4.5 million. And again, this has that 25%, 25 points threshold I didn't meet. So those are all the new applications, and we're looking to try to fund all of those into our next transportation improvement program. Okay, that was it for LI. Now we'll turn over to Transportation Alternatives, which is Alyssa.
Sorry, I have a question on this item. I'm not sure, again, since we started the...
Yes, it's
fine. I was just curious. The first thing I noticed in the packet that we received, the project from Prosperity Farms from PGA to Donald Ross, the description says purchase one passenger rail car. I assume that is the typo. I just wanted to point that out. I was a little bit curious. Sorry. And I even called Jason Price last week. I left a voicemail just inquiring about that. So I'm a little bit curious. And in the description that you had in there, you mentioned designated bicycle lanes 4 to 5 feet. The section from Donald Ross to PGA, I was just curious. That means adding pavement, because there's really no space right now. The pavement is fairly narrow. So the county is going to be adding pavement, 10 feet, 8 feet of pavement for this road. I was a little bit curious about that. My second item, which is a broader question, the score, I remind me, has been a while since I saw that one, is up to 100 points, right, for local initiatives, or is that still the case?
Correct. We try to keep it at 100, just to show the weighting of where it goes for different goals and objectives. But they never score close to 100.
Yeah, no, I understand. At the same time, if we have so many projects scoring in the teens, I'm just thinking if this trend continues, maybe something that we should look at for future years as to whether maybe there's some adjustments that are necessary to the score if projects are scoring less than 20% of the points. Maybe there's something, some adjustments that could be needed to the scoring criteria for the future. I'm not saying for this one, but if the trend continues. But yeah, I was curious about that one. I have a personal interest, and that's why I called Jason, but I was curious because of the description.
All right, yeah. We just resurfaced most of that road, and unfortunately, we found out that we're short 1 foot here or there to designate a bike lane. So the shoulder was not wide enough to designate bike lanes. So we decided to come here for a grant to try to mitigate that and add the short, pavement width in those areas so that we could designate the entire corridor for bike lanes.
So the lanes today are 14, 15 on the section north of PGA.
What we do is when we resurface in the county, we don't add pavement. We just stay where we are, unlike DOT. So if we have a curb, we don't move the curb.
There's swell there. I'm just curious. I walk there frequently. So there's is maybe 11 foot wide, the existing lanes.
Right.
And there's a swell.
Yeah. What we do is we designate 11 foot wide lanes for vehicular traffic. And whatever is left over in the existing pavement is designated as shoulder. If the shoulder is wide enough to be designated as a bike lane, it's designated as a bike lane. So when we went through this corridor, we found out that we were short, in some areas. So we could not have continuous or reasonably, long enough bike lane on both sides. So we thought that this would be an easy fix for this long corridor to spend about $5 million or so to bring it up to the standard, and so that we can designate bike lanes on the entire corridor. So we have the right of way. It's just the pavement is not wide enough in certain areas. So that's why we are adding mostly 1 to 2 feet along several sections of the road, so that we could then designate it as a bike lane for bike lanes. And this corridor actually ranks, I think, in the top priority for bike lanes in the county in the 2045 LRTP. So
we're talking north of PGA, right? PGA too, because it's very different south of PGA versus north of PGA. They're very different sections.
So we are leaving, you know, a few segments out because we don't have the right of way, if that's your question. So just, I believe, north of PGA, we are leaving out a block or two because we do not have enough right of way. But we are encompassing most of the corridor. And we our project was broken into two segments. We wanted to do all the way from North Lake to Donald Ross. So this, I believe you said that you were trying to combine them. And I thought we were not able to do that because we ran out of, you know, the max. We exceeded the max for each of the grants.
I can respond to that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so the projects that Palm Beach County originally submitted for these two sections included signals. And because those signals, moving those would have right-of-way impacts, they couldn't be added to this product. So those costs for those were taken out. So originally the products that were submitted by the county were already individually close to that $5 million max. But since you took out a lot of large cost items because they weren't able to be fit into this project because of right-of-way constraints, it really, you know, lessened the total amount for the products. And that way, when you combine it now, it's under $5 million for a longer stretch.
Great. Hopefully we answered your question.
Later on, I'll talk to you. I'm just curious.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll invite Alyssa Frank up to present transportation alternatives.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Alyssa Frank. I'm the Ped Bike Coordinator here at the TPI, and I also oversee the Transportation Alternatives Program. So this is a program. Wait a second. Thank you. So this is a program that offers about $3.3 million annually in federal funds, and the purpose is to help fund non-motorized infrastructure and safe routes to school projects within the county. Projects include complete streets, bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, traffic calming, recreational trails, historic preservation, and safe routes to school. And eligible projects are on and off federal aid eligible roadway networks. This funding is reimbursed over a period of 3 years with design in year one and construction in year three. And it offers a max of $1 million per project, and the minimum project is $250,000. So the priority highlights that we'll talk about. So all existing projects from last year are moving forward. And then we had received 4 new applications this year. All 4 are eligible projects, and the total amount requested was $3.55 million. So we can fund 3.5 of those projects, which is great news. So for an overview of these projects, I'll go in the order of how the BTPAC ranked the 4 projects. So the first one is Palm Beach Gardens project. It is a 9.5-foot separated 2-way bicycle track on Burns Road from Military Trail to alternate A1A. The city requested $1 million, and this project is deemed eligible. The second project on the list is in Boca Raton. It is for lighting on the El Rio Trail, and this stretches from Glades Road to Yamato Road, or the lighting, not the trail. This is, again, the funding request was for $1 million, and this project is eligible. However, similar to what Andrew noted during the local initiatives, it did meet or it did not hit the 25-point criteria. However, BTPAC did rank this project higher because of increased capacity to use the trail in early morning and late evening hours when it's dark. The scoring also did not reflect the college students' lower income, which will be reflected in future years. So that is the second project. The third project is, again, another one in Indian Trail Improvement District. And this, there are two roadways within the district that are both getting the same typical. It is for a 10-foot shared use path on one side of the road and an 8-foot pathway on the other. The two roadways, the first is Great View Boulevard from Key Lime Boulevard to 60th Street. And the second is Key Lime Boulevard from Hall Boulevard to the M1 Canal. Again, this is another project that was or had requested funding for $1 million and is deemed eligible. And the last project on this list is in Wellington. It's for a 10-foot shared use path along the C8 Canal from Stribling Way to Forest Hill Boulevard. This project requested just over $550,000 and is also eligible. So today we are requesting a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 23 to 27 list of priority projects. That is the end of the presentation.
Thank you. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. I need a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 23-27 list of projects, and then I'll open the floor to discussion.
I move the motion to approve.
I'll second.
For discussion?
For discussion. Normally we raise our cards if you would like to make a comment. Alex?
This list of priority projects includes two sections of State Road 7 from Okeechobee to 60th for widening, and then from 60th to North Lake for construction, almost $98 million. The city of West Palm Beach is opposed to this project because of its impacts on our water catchment area, so I cannot support this motion.
Thank you. I don't see any other cards raised. No one online. Okay, hearing no further discussion, I have a motion by Maria Tejera and a second by Jamie Brown. We're going to do this vote by roll call. Margie, please call the roll.
So the motion on the floor is to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 23 to 27 list of project priorities as presented. Virtual attendees, if you can please unmute your microphones when I call your name. And my staff will assist you if you have any problems. And then the members present in person, just as a reminder to hit the button on the base and bring the microphone a little closer. And when it's red, it means you're on. Jim Bell?
Yes.
Maria Tejera?
Yes.
Gary Dunmire?
Yes.
Richard Pereira?
Yes.
Kenny Wilson? He will be marked as absent. Cheng Jen Lam?
Yes.
Jamie Brown?
Yes.
Michael Morrow?
Yes.
Aramis Cabrera?
Yes.
Will Hicks?
Yes.
Brian Davis?
Yes.
Anna Bielowska?
Yes.
Aaron Hoffman?
Yes.
Terrence Bailey?
Yes.
Christopher Marsh is absent. Joyce Kai?
Yes.
Vicky Gatanis? Kim Delaney?
Yeah. Whoops. Yes.
Michael O'Dell?
Yes.
Alex Hansen?
No.
Kevin Volberg?
No.
Modus Amalturk?
Yes.
Kara Ferris?
Yes.
It passes with two opposed, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Moving on, motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 2020 strategic plan. I'd like to invite Valerie Nielsen, the TPA Deputy Director of Multimodal Development, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone.
Today, I'll be presenting our fiscal year 22 draft strategic plan. We just finished fiscal year 21 on June 30th. So our fiscal year runs from July 1st through June 30th. But first, I'm going to give a brief overview of some of the highlights that from our this past fiscal year 2021. And if you didn't get a chance to pick up our annual report that's on the counter, it includes some of the highlights I'm going to briefly go over for this past year, including a timeline of key highlights that occurred over this past year. We adopted our fiscal year 22 to 2026 transportation improvement program. We supported adoption of the regional 2045 transportation plan. We renewed our commitment for Vision Zero. We also attended PalmTrans headquarters ribbon cutting for their new facility that we were a funding partner for. And we hosted several virtual meetings and events during this pandemic time. But and as well, we also achieved two agency designations, including the 2021 best workplaces for commuters and bicycle friendly business with silver designation. So in the annual report, you'll see highlights from over our six goals of engaging the public. We reached over 2,000 participants in our events. Some of the planning activities that we've done over the past year, including walking and biking safety audits, prioritizing funding, an overview of our TIP that we adopted, the projects that we implemented and prioritized funding for, and just an overview of some of the ways we collaborated with partners and workshops and events that we held, as well as our report card for this past fiscal year for our strategic plan. So for our new fiscal year 22 strategic plan, this is not a required document, but a best practice that we've been doing over the past couple of years of a one-year plan that we want to focus on 3 to 5 specific and strategic items for each of our six goals above and beyond our two-year unified planning work program, general planning tasks. So staff created a draft strategic plan, and then we had a meeting with a board committee of 5 members to present our draft. They provided us modifications to the items that we had proposed, and that's what I'm going to present to you guys today for your thoughts, and then for final adoption by our board, our full board, later next week at the board meeting. So under our first goal, the things that are new are underlined, and the things that are strike or deleted are striked through from the past year. So under engage the public, we modified the text for one or B for expand social media outreach. Instead, we said expand social media following to reach 4,000 followers. We're just over 3,000 followers now. So we want to hit the 4,000 mark. We also, instead of measuring an outcome of 10 posts per month, we want to have 25,000 impressions per month. So changing what we're measuring there, how many people are we actually reaching? For 1D, you guys saw earlier this morning that our role about the TPA video. So that was a one-time thing. Our new action there that we're proposing is to increase public awareness of the TPA and to have 40 TPA related media stories. So to get more into the news and into the media about the TPA, about transportation initiatives and projects happening here in Palm Beach County. And then 1E was also a one-time thing, provide live online access to our board meetings and our committee meetings. We did that in January. And so now our new action that we're proposing there is to present TPA initiatives to partner agencies and groups and have at least 15 presentations. So going out to the community, presenting to our local municipalities and different community groups about what we do to further engage the public and get more input in our planning, transportation planning process. For goal 2, plan the system, we added a new action to refine the countywide mobility vision and funding plan. We've been talking about this. We've been talking about leading from our long-range transportation plan and some of the projects we identified and desires we identified there. We want to work more collaboratively and further refine that vision and figure out what the funding plan for that would be. So that's one of our actions that we want to achieve in this next year. For 2C, conduct pedestrian and bicycle safety field reviews. walk bike audits. We want to up that number to 5. So if anyone's interested in that, Melissa here has been doing a great job leading those walking audits. So we want to do more of those. For 2D, for published long range transportation plan implementation report, we're doing that as an ongoing thing. So we striked that instead of it being a strategic item, it's more of an ongoing thing that we're already doing. So what we said is that we want to implement and update our Vision Zero action plan. So we adopted a Vision Zero action plan a couple of years ago. We want to update that and really make sure we're implementing the actions and the strategies that we identified there. For Create Smart Palm Beach website, we striked through that because that's something that we did and we're continuing to work on. For 2E, Create Complete Streets Opportunities Plan. We started down this path and we're working on it, but we realized that our complete street design guidelines that we created in 2017 are now a little outdated. Things have changed since then. So we want to update and revise our complete street design guidelines and through that process, identify complete streets opportunities in this next year. For goal three, prioritize funding. We striked through notify partners of funding opportunities because again, this is something we're just doing on an ongoing basis of grant opportunities and things that are happening. So we didn't feel like that's really that strategic to point out by itself. The new 3A that we're proposing is to create a state road modification scoring system. So that would be new for our state roads. So update LITA scoring system. Again, that's something that we do every year. It's not, it's just something more ongoing. Now we want to create a new scoring system that would be a similar type of grant program, but to gather ideas from our local municipalities on what are projects that we should work with FDOT to do on the FDOT road specifically. So that's something that we want to work on in this new year. For 3C, identify safety projects within TPA priority list. We're doing that as an ongoing thing. So a new item related to the state road modification scoring is to establish an application process for safety projects. And then for 3D, we changed the wording here a little bit to say advocate for TPA adopted legislative policy positions. Since we adopted legislative policy positions this past year, we want to advocate for those. And the outcome would be amended laws and policies. One of those things that we were advocating for was that the new driver's tests include questions for bicycle safety so that people that are taking their tests to learn how to drive actually, or to prove they know how to drive safely on the roads, also know how to behave around bicyclists and what those laws are. And we'll hear a little bit more about that from Melissa and after my presentation. For goal four, implement projects. We upped the number of how many projects we were working on to review, upcoming resurfacing projects that the county, the FDOT, the local municipalities are doing. We try to review those and engage with the local community to see if we can implement or incorporate additional safety improvements in those projects. So we want to up that from 20 projects to 50 projects. We striked through the TPA priority project status report because it's an ongoing thing. And then for 4D, we changed the wording there to take out NCORs because that's not relevant anymore. But we did say that we want to monitor what the construction funds that are being allocated for landscaping plant materials per Florida statute. So that's something that we want to keep an eye out on. For goal five, collaborate with partners. We strike through collect ped bike activity counts. We want to that's more of an ongoing thing. And we're working with the county and looking at different technologies to continue to do that and expand that. More of a strategic item. We said we want to keep assisting local governments with transportation studies and plans, but we added the word, our board asked us to add the word and mobility studies and plans. So to be more specific there. We changed the word workshops to events to include workshops and other events. And we said, instead of trying to get three events done, we want to do that. We want to do four at least. And then for 5C, we previously said we want to create a complete streets projects video. We're almost done with that. We're fine tuning that and hope to present that to you at the next meeting, but we want to create a mobility options video. And this was an idea from the board subcommittee to create, what if I'm someone who lives here or work or visits here? How do I know all the different ways to get around? I might go to a transit agency's website and just learn about them, but what are all the different ways integrated to get around? So we want to create an informational video about how to get around Palm Beach County across different modes and options that there are for people. And then lastly, under goal 6, administer the agency, we combined, previously we had A and B were separate. It said A was, we want to provide our board members trainings at local workshops and conferences. And then we had another line item to provide TPA staff training. We combined that into one line item to say we want to provide our board and staff training. And up to that to 40 trainings, we have 15 staff and 21 board members. So we're trying to provide opportunities for all those folks. And we added a new item to say modify TPA committees to support TPA initiatives and revise operating procedures would be our outcomes for that. We want to look up the makeup of all of our committees and our board to make sure that we are including all the agencies and members that would make sense to advance our mission and vision. So see if there's anyone missing, any other agencies to be part of our advisory and board committees. And I think that's it. The last one is more of a, instead of, we just, for the comprehensive annual financial report, we want to provide that for this past year and provide summaries throughout the year. So those are our draft fiscal year 22 strategic items that we want to achieve and that we wanted to present to you today for your thoughts and a motion to recommend approval.
Thank you, Valerie. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. I do need a motion to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 22 strategic plan, and then I will open the floor for discussion.
I'll move approval, Chair.
Thank you, Kim.
Second.
And if I can speak on the motion for a moment.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Compliments to the TPA in how the agency has expanded its role to fully acknowledge and embrace the relationship between transportation and land use. I've had the good fortune of working with the TPA since it was the MPO, right, for a long time. And I think the plan does an excellent job of expanding, let me rephrase, of more appropriately clarifying the TPA's role as a partner with local governments to enable transportation dollars to be expended more efficiently by analyzing and synchronizing land use patterns with transportation. So it's in particular, what struck me was the expansion of the assistance to local governments to include mobility plans. Mobility really means land use, in the way we think about it, because those two things are interconnected so closely. So I think the TPA has done a very good job of being a partner to local governments and taking on a leadership role in improving the transportation network of the county in a manner that has really become a best practice. So our compliments to the agency for this type of planning and recommending approval of the strategic plan. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. Alex, you have your card raised.
Yeah, I had a question on goal 3, prioritize funding the new action A, create state road modifications scoring system. I was just curious as to how this would work in relation to the existing funding categories that we have and the existing types of projects, local initiatives, transportation alternatives. So this would only be for state roads. I guess the municipality would be the applicant, with FDOT being a joint applicant, since we're talking about a state road. And then I'm trying to understand, could this be for projects that would also qualify technically for local initiatives or transportation alternatives funding? So we the municipality could say, well, we would rather apply for this instead of transportation alternatives, even though it could qualify for either one. And so those are some of the questions. And then would this, where would the monies for this come from? Would it be taken away from the existing funding for transportation alternatives and local initiatives, or is this from coming from a separate pot of money?
So this is more being more strategic about the projects that we're already creating, our priority project list that the TPA, for example, like the US 1 multimodal corridor study, we did that study and then we said, these are priorities for us to do this project on this segment of US 1, already working with the municipalities, but this is creating a program that's more strategic. It's not taking money away from anything. It's actually, and then anything that would be applied to for local initiatives or transportation alternatives that is on an FDOT road would automatically be put into this pot of the state road modification. So it's kind of being more strategic about the process and getting more, hopefully getting more ideas from our local municipalities for FDOT roadways. So us working with municipalities and FDOT, but creating a process for our local municipalities to apply to us with an idea, with a project, but working collaboratively with that and then prioritizing it with an actual scoring system versus just here are our projects and let's just put them in the pipeline. So it's very similar to LI, but for FDOT roadways and anything that would be applied to LI that's an FDOT roadway would move into this category. So LI TA would be non-FDOT road.
So there'll still be an application. There will still be the same deadlines that you have for local initiatives and the same window of application.
Yeah. So it's basically creating a third program, but that really already exists, but making it more formal, similar to LI. So anything that's FDOT goes into this process application, give us your ideas, we'll score and rank them, present them back. And then it actually frees up more money for LITA. So things that were going into that for DOT ideas would go into this. You can jump in.
I just want to supplement what Valerie was saying. Alex, that's a great question. The key that you need to understand as committee members, as applicants, is that there are three pots of money. Mm-hmm. As was presented in the priority project list that you approved earlier in your agenda, there is about $20 million available each year for projects on the state roadway system. Those are state gas taxes that cannot be spent off of the state roadway system. But we want to make that funding available to you so that if you have state roads that pass through your local communities, you can take an ownership role in deciding what those roads look like. So an application to state road modifications is to say to the TPA, we would like to use some of that $20 million of state funding to reconstruct or modify a state road that's passing through our community. The local initiatives funds are federal dollars that are required to be spent on federal aid eligible roadways. So those are primarily being allocated to county and city roads because you can't use the state funds on the county and city roads. So we wanted to make that pot of money available to you for county and city road reconstruction projects and modifications. And then the TA funds, the $3 million a year that are available from that program, are available even off of the federal aid eligible system because they're primarily oriented towards those non-motorized transportation investments. So you got 20 million of state funds, 22 million of federal funds that we allocate for county and city road projects that are federal aid eligible, and then 3 million for transportation alternatives. And what we're saying is that we want to refine the process that we would use to review projects on the state highway system so that when the DOT comes up with ideas that they want to build, and when the local governments come up with ideas that they want to build, we have a mechanism to evaluate those different projects against one another and determine which ones do the best to advance our community's goals.
Is the expectation to have full sign-off from FDOT by the time a local government submits an application on this state road modification? Because that can be lengthy to be...
So the strategic plan identifies that we need to create the process by which the applications will be scored and the guidelines for what criteria have to be satisfied at which points in time. It doesn't determine the answers to your questions, but I understand that those answers are important and we would certainly pay close attention to them because we don't want to make such an onerous process for you as local governments that you can't possibly use the program. But we also can't put the DOT in such a position where you're saying to them, we have a last second idea to modify a state road and we need you to just rubber stamp it, because they ultimately have to live with the ownership and obligation to maintain that road after the project is built. So we're going to find that happy medium between not putting so much burden on you to get everything worked out before you even submit for a project that won't be built for 6 years, and not putting them in such a bind that they have to say yes to something that's unclear or undesirable as the owner of the road. So stay tuned. It will be a conversation that your input will be very important to share.
And the expectation is that that would be completed within the next fiscal year, right? Because this is at least the system.
And as a reminder to the whole committee, the strategic plan directs our activities for the period July 1, just this past week, to June 30th of this fiscal year. So these are actions that we will commit, that we are committing to. If you endorse it and our governing board says, get this stuff done, these are things that we're committing to get done by June 30th. And in this case, we would get it done by the fall, because we would really want the application process in January, February timeframe to recognize the outcome of that of the development of the state road modification scoring.
Okay, I've got Michael O'Dell next.
I understand what you just went through, Nick, but I'd like to know, Valerie, how can we get as municipalities, how do we bring projects that we're currently working on, planning projects that we're working, what is the process that you all have for you to understand what we're trying to do within our own municipalities, so that we understand where and when we fit into the categories of these funding projects and how we bring these projects forward? It seems like I understand your process of when we have a project, but how do we even know that one that we're working on currently will even fit into one of these categories and could possibly be funded?
I cannot help it, but probably bring up an example on US 441, the left turn lane, the second left turn lane at Stribling. That could be probably a prime example where the village could, you know, suggest that that project be funded and built by FDOT as an improvement on the state highway system. I don't know if you were involved with that, but that was a CGB project that ended up being canceled because of the funding issues.
I think the answer to your question is, TPA staff is here to serve as a liaison, to participate, to guide, to provide information, to be a resource. So as early in the process as you're thinking about or want to bounce ideas or want our input or want to let us know of something that you're doing, then reach out to TPA staff and we'll be happy to participate, to provide information and say, oh, that actually aligns with this. Maybe we could do this or that and help guide that process in a collaborative way. So also for these application process, we also require a meeting before the application is submitted. So it's a well thought out idea, but I understand your point that that's further along in the process. And what about in the early stages of other planning efforts that the municipality might be working on? And we would love to help guide that and provide any information or help that we can.
And a follow-up, again, to supplement what Valerie just said, we're here to help, but we also have created tools that help all of you navigate the decision process. One of those tools is our online mapping, palmbeachtpa.org/map. One of the layers on the left side of the table of contents on that map is the roadway ownership layer. So right away, your first question is, who owns the road? I mean, you know that, but you can go straight to that layer and say, okay, this is a state facility. I should apply for state road modification funding, or this is a county road. I should apply with the county support. I should apply for local initiatives funding, or this is a municipal road. Is it federal aid eligible? I wonder. Well, there's a second layer on that table of contents that says, show me the federal aid eligible roadways. And if it's lit up on that map, then you are eligible to submit for local initiatives funding. If it's not on that layer, then you've got to ask yourself, is this a pedestrian bicycle facility? Can I apply for transportation alternatives funding? That's the program for you to implement that kind of a project. So state roads first, county and city roads on the federal aid eligible network, and then transportation alternatives is really non-motorized infrastructure projects that are not on the federal aid eligible system. They can be, but because there are other pots of funding available to do larger projects, most of the TA projects that we see are off of the federal aid system.
So what I hear from you all is that basically, as we move through our planning process and our strategic plans within our own communities, we need to make a stop here. just to check in. Here's what we got going on. Here's who we think we can get funding for. Here's our timing of what we're trying to do and see how that fits in. Is that basically what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And I want to point you back to goal two, our action item A. So previous slide, if we can go back just one, that's the development of this 561 mobility plan. That's the development of this countywide mobility vision. And so not only are we going to be talking about how do we use existing funding resources to implement local community outcomes, projects that you've identified within your communities that you want funding for, that you see value in and you want to get built, but we're going to be engaging with all of our municipalities. We are already talking very significantly with our county, with the DOT, about what do we want to accomplish as a county that our existing funding cannot support. And so that's going to be a secondary conversation with each of our local municipalities, with our transit agency providers, with our private sector partners, with folks on the FEC railway and things like that, where we say, if we had additional resources, what could we reasonably achieve? And those conversations are also going to be helpful as you develop your local strategic plans. And we talk about, is the community at large ready for a conversation about something like a transportation sales tax that would provide additional resources to the county, to the cities, to the TPA, so that we could use that as matching funds to attract federal and state discretionary dollars, so that we can use that to supplement what we're already able to do with our state road modifications, local initiatives, transportation alternatives, and our local budgets in order to implement the overall desired mobility vision that we're creating right here, that we're creating collaboratively in this room with the staff members assembled here and with the governing board members that'll be assembled in this room next week.
I have Kevin next and then you, Terrence after him.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask on three and I think it was four about the scoring criteria or the new scoring system that you're going to develop. To what extent, will this committee and the other committees participate, in the development of the new scoring system you're going to develop, as well as, I think it was on priority four about the new operating procedures that you're going to be developing. What would our role be in the development of those, or would it just be presented to us and then we'd have discussions at the point when we were trying to vote for adoption?
So spoiler alert, a lot of our scoring recommendations to you are going to be based on the established goals and objectives in our long range transportation plan. So we're going to look at the things that we said we wanted to achieve in that document, and we're going to propose a scoring system to the committees and then ultimately for adoption by the TPA governing board for that gives more points to projects that move the needle on the stuff that we said matters most to us as a community. So in some respects, you've already had a significant role in the development of our values that were established in the goals and objectives in our long range plan. That being said, you will have an opportunity when that system is presented to you to say, this doesn't exactly implement what we thought we wanted, or we aren't exactly, we don't think that this it's quite right. And you can request and together recommend modifications to the system that would be presented to the governing board. So you'll have an opportunity through that process to review and recommend modifications. Quick forward, regarding the second question, you had asked about, is it six?
New operating procedures, yeah. Revised operating procedures there.
And so just to give you a little bit of context here, I think two things are central to the discussion. One is our governing board was remarkably enthralled with the focus that we placed on pedestrian and bicycle fatalities. When we did a presentation in May about the example, the one crash that we said, okay, we'd like to present a summary like this for every single pedestrian or bicycle fatality that occurs in Palm Beach County so that we don't let those incidents go unexamined, unexplored. That's an unfair characterization. There's obviously a great detail of exploration happening already, but we would like to provide even more attention on those items. One of the things that our governing board said is we've got to have a Vision Zero task force. We need to have a group of folks who are focused on and attentive to pedestrian and bicycle safety. We've got to have people involved in that conversation. To which we said, well, we actually have a pedestrian bicycle advisory committee, but maybe we need to review their charge and review their membership in order to implement what the governing board has asked us to do, to bring that focused attention on pedestrian bicycle safety and corrective actions that can be made in our communities to address incidents that have occurred. The other thing is, as we talk about this development of a countywide vision, one of the items that we're going to talk with the governing board about as far as a proposed modification is the potential creation of a smaller group of elected officials that would function as more of an executive committee of the governing board that would give me an opportunity together with the rest of the TPA staff to interact on a more frequent basis in the Sunshine Law, but with a smaller group of elected officials to develop and refine the content of this countywide mobility vision that we're being charged to create. Because frankly, when we look at the way our governing board operates, we have 21 locally elected officials. We only meet 9 times a year. And I tend to lose their attention after about 2 hours. So I get basically 18 hours a year of sunshine sanctioned discussion about what we should invest in collectively as a community as a means of advancing our transportation system. And so one of the things we're talking about with our governing board is there a way to create the folks who really want to do that deeper dive, the elected officials who are passionate about this and really want to be champions of this movement? Is there a way to create an opportunity for them to engage at a deeper level and take ownership and then shape through recommendations? They wouldn't be able to make decisions on their own, but through recommendations to the full governing board that have a little more thorough vetting process, make that kind of investment of time and energy and attention to shaping the future of Palm Beach County. So those are the two examples that we were thinking about when we talked about revising operating procedures.
Okay, thank you. Terrence?
This was a question for Nick. Similar back to the, are you looking to create a subcommittee of this group with staff to vet out and come up with this new process, or staff should kind of bring it back to the full body for the first cut, or how do you want to do that? And we've done it both ways over the years. Just asking if you've thought that far ahead.
We were really intending, as far, you're referring now to the state road modification scoring.
Yes.
Yeah. We were intending to copy, for the most part, the local initiative system with some tweaks that make it relevant to the state road modifications, how projects would be built. But again, it's going to mimic the goals and objectives, the measures and the targets that were identified in our long range plan. So we weren't thinking that we needed a subcommittee of the technical advisory committee to refine the scoring that would be presented. That being said, Madam Chair, if you'd like to convene such a subcommittee and charge them with working with us to ensure that what's presented is valuable to the committee and reflects basically the subcommittee's understanding of where we need to go next, we would be happy to work together with that subcommittee to do that.
Okay.
I would like to see the subcommittee, even if it's just one meeting. I know you've got passionate people around the room. It may just be one Zoom call, but it may keep this from being a 2-hour affair when it comes back to the larger body.
So candidly, if you ask for, if you want to phrase that in the form of a motion, then I would ask you to make sure that you enumerate the membership of the subcommittee, because it is sanctioned. Anybody who gathers together to make recommendations to you, who then make recommendations to the governing board, is regulated by Sunshine Law. So we need to have defined membership. We would need to have an in-person quorum. We would need to follow all those same regulations that are present for the operation of this committee. And the defined membership is a key component of that, because it determines how to establish quorum and who's allowed to participate in the discussion and ultimately to vote on what's recommended to the full committee back to you.
All right, Chair, I make a motion to create the described subcommittee with no more than 7 of the active TAC members making up that subcommittee.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Any discussion? Alex?
For my clarification, as the staff director trying to implement a potential outcome like that, I would need to know whether you are asking TPA staff to select the 7 or whether you would like to recommend or voluntold 7 people to serve in that capacity. Darren, voluntel. I suppose voluntel would be the right verb tense.
I phrased it up to seven. If there are seven members, if there are more than seven members that would like to be on this subcommittee, we can address that if it comes. If we don't get to seven, it's whoever has of interest. I think you'll get to seven, though. If not, we can get it to seven. I'm not that specific on how we get there.
So I have a motion. I have a second. He's saying up to seven members. You're allowing for the possibility of more to participate, up to nine. What is?
So I think under the rules, seven can be on the committee. As it's open meeting, so anybody can show up and talk.
Okay.
You just wouldn't be. Well, it's a subcommittee, so it's not really voting very much anyway. It's bringing something back to the larger. Do I have that correct? Is anybody can show up, anyone can talk, but if we limit it to seven, that would be the actual seated committee.
And I'm winging it a little bit. If you were to pass a motion like that, I'm supposing that the way we would implement that is by issuing a request to the members of the technical committee for interest in serving in this capacity. And with the first seven who responded would be the selected members. And if we got less than seven within, say, a defined period of time, then we would say membership invitation is closed and membership is now X, whatever less than seven has become. Because again, we have to have a defined membership in order to determine what constitutes a quorum, in order to conduct an organized meeting and make formal recommendations to the full committee. So I can't leave the door open indefinitely to say it was three, and then we got a fourth, and then we got a fifth, and then someone's heard that they didn't like the discussion and they volunteered later, and now it became six. It's going to have to be a defined outcome that we would say, this is the window for volunteers, and your window has closed.
Okay. Maria? Do you support that?
Could we just ask for membership today to see who is interested?
I would
because
prefer
that way
that
we pass that bridge.
I don't want to. I really don't want to be in the role of picking the people. I'd rather have you decide who wants to serve.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Erin, you raise your tent card. Is it for this item or for? Okay.
Aside from members of the TAC, I recommend also a member of the TPA staff to be on this as well, if that's possible.
It's really not. We would be the staff supporting the committee's discussion and preparing the content for the agendas, and we would certainly have a voice in the discussion of the committee, but we wouldn't be a voting member of the committee.
So, Michael, is your comment on this or okay? So, I have a motion. I have a second.
This is on the main item as procedurally. If we haven't approved the strategic plan yet, don't we have to approve the strategic plan and then determine that we want this subcommittee on to work on this core of one of the items of the strategic plan? Because I don't think that we can approve this first without having approved the strategic plan. Because
good point.
Let's assume that the strategic plan is not approved, then this committee is doing nothing. Yeah. Just procedurally.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, you want to table this motion until after the motion to recommend approval of the strategic plan?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, then moving on with comments, Michael.
Turn myself on. I guess I only want to, echo the thank you for preparing this. And I want to give a kudos to Valerie for all her service and her, and I know she was very much involved in all this. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. Alex?
I echo Michael's comments.
But I do have what I hope is a final question or comment on the state road modification scoring system. As to when, if you have already determined the funding for that new category would be available for transportation alternatives, funding is available 3 years from the application, give or take. For local initiatives, is 5 years on the application. Has because are there any limitations, funding limitations that determine when that funding would be available? If it can be less than five, I would strongly, strongly recommend that. You have heard from many of us, one of the challenges with submitting for local initiatives is that we're talking projects that are not gonna be funded 5 years into the future, if that. So it becomes really challenging sometimes to find projects that far into the future that we want to submit for right now.
Send the chair of your subcommittee.
That, I think these are great conversations to have at the subcommittee that may or may not end up getting formed after you choose to recommend adoption or not of the strategic plan. So there are two answers to the question. The State Road Modifications Program is projects on the state highway system that are primarily administered by the DOT. So that's a key piece of information. You're submitting a proposed outcome that you would like someone else to design and construct on your behalf. And that someone else is the DOT. So because that's true, there are two paths that you can take. You can use the State Road Modifications to say, can we add on to the scope of an already programmed project that will be occurring in our community, such as a resurfacing project, which might give you the opportunity to see that outcome constructed a little faster in the 3 to 4 year timeframe when the project appears first in the 5 year TIP. If it's a brand new idea that's not attached to a resurfacing project or an existing programmed outcome, then you're asking the DOT to allocate design resources and then construction resources to that outcome. And the traditional response is that design will go into the new fifth year and construction in the new seventh year of the five-year work program. So I know that's not the exciting answer that you were looking for. It's not the sexy, we found a way to build projects in 2 to 3 years that we never thought of before. We're gonna continue to work on that compression from concept to construction. But we also have to recognize that the DOT has 5 years of good ideas in their program, and they've allocated staffing resources to the design oversight and construction of those projects. And when we come up with new ideas and we ask their staff to perform those new ideas for us, we have to wait in line.
Thank you. Mo?
I wonder if TPA staff had any discussions with FDOT about this initiative, and what is FDOT's position on this? Because there are several details that are important as well. Like an example, what would be the minimum cost of a project to be proposed? If there is cap or max, I would imagine FDOT have deep pockets, so the max is not important, but probably is the minimum is important. So that's my question, whether if DOT has a position on this and whether they were consulted on this or not.
This is an interesting discussion. I don't think we anticipated this particular action getting this much attention this morning. Mm-hmm. As a reminder to the committee, the program itself, this idea of state road modifications and the opportunity to submit annual concepts for construction on state roads, it was actually created in December of 2019 through the adoption of our long-range transportation plan update. We first received applications, and the county was one of those applicants, and so was the city of Boca Raton, in the spring of 2020. That was the first year that we received applications for this program. This year, we've received some additional applications, as well as developing some concepts internally through TPA staff review of the state road infrastructure on some of the non-strategic intermodal system highways, some of the smaller state roads within our communities. We identified projects that we would like to build, but we started to recognize that we need a structure to evaluate the different project proposals that would be coming forward out of this program. So essentially we've been doing it for 2 years already, but what this action says is formalize it and make it more transparent. Make it clear what the rules are and how projects are going to be scored so that we can implement them in a more understandable way, and the committee members who are trying to figure out, is this helpful to me, can know when to use it and how to use it to their advantage. And I know John's he's been up for a little while, so he might want to supplement what I just said.
No, I mean, you're right, Nick. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So, this is somewhat business as usual in terms of the money that's available and us working with the TPA to kind of get these projects into the work program. That That's not new. I mean, it's more of a formalized process. And I think what Mr. Odell said is kind of part of this process, right? Each of the municipalities has their own planning program going on right now. And this is a great opportunity to kind of bring, you know, you said, can we get together? I think that's what Nick is saying. Let's get everybody together with you. It doesn't have to be at the same meeting, but bring your plan in. Let's overlay it on the plan that the TPA has. And let's look at what DOT has in the work program. Your greatest opportunity to implement a project outside of the new fifth year is going to be a resurfacing project, right? That's what Nick is saying. And so they're saying, let's look at the whole program. We know DOT's got projects coming in the new fifth year. We've got our priorities that we give them. And do you, the municipalities, have projects on those same roadways? Let's turn on the layer on the GIS system. Okay, yeah, this state road is going through my city. And actually, my commission just brought up a project to me at the last commission meeting about trying to incorporate some pedestrian or bicycle. Let's meet with the TPA, see if we can put these two together. Oh, there's a resurfacing project. Can we get that in there? If not, maybe it's a new project that we then target for this new state road modification. And Nick just is trying to say, let's make the criteria now, something kind of like what we already have for TAP and LI, that will help us not just say, you know, you got your application in first, so we're going to put you on the priority list higher. It's going to be a little bit more structured, but the criteria says, okay, it meets these goals and objectives of the TPA. And that's why it's number one on our list of state road modifications that we're going to the DOT with. So.
Thank you, John. Mo?
I just want to say that this is a great initiative, and I love it that you guys are trying to formalize it and actually encourage all the participants here to get into it. And I know how it all started. I thought that was the reason that it actually started with FDOT. I reached out to FDOT to try to have them do, you know, upgrade their own system within the county, and we ended up going this way. But we also always in the county get reached out to by local municipalities about issues, mostly with the signal operations, and that are inherent from capacity and or operational, you know, deficiencies or inadequacies in the system. And most of the times those are on state highway system. So this initiative would be a great tool for us to work with the municipalities as an operators with the traffic signal systems that can identify kind of improvements that are needed and have them come through and have these projects and the improvements programmed through this process.
Thank you,
sure. Madam Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt, yes. Terrence. I do have another hand raised. I have Cheng Jen Lam.
Okay, I was going to ask. Okay.
Thank you. From the discussion, I can foresee that this could potentially attract the higher number of the tech members to participate the subcommittee. So why do we limit ourselves to seven?
We have tabled that. Are we not allowed to talk about it after we've tabled it? So that motion has been tabled.
So that one is tabled until after this item moves forward.
Yes. Sorry, CJ. Do you have anything else?
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no further discussion and not having any further hands raised, I have a motion by Kim Delaney and a second by Michael Odell. We're going to do this vote by roll call. Margie, please call the roll.
I was off, I'm sorry. And as a reminder, for those participating virtually, if you can please unmute your microphone when I call your name. The motion on the floor is to recommend adoption of the fiscal year 22 strategic plan as presented. Jim Bell.
Yes.
Maria Tahara?
Yes.
Gary Dunmire? Oh, I'm sorry, he stepped out, so I'll come back to him. Richard Pereira?
Yes.
Kenny Wilson? Mark him as absent. Cheng Jen Lan?
Yes, but with the suggested number of participants raised to the weak majority of the...
So this is just on members. The... Fiscal year 22 strategic plan item.
Oh, okay.
And we will bring the other motion back up. Okay, thank you. Jamie Brown?
Yes.
Mike Morrow?
Yes.
Aramis Cabrera?
Yes.
Will Hicks?
Yes.
Ryan Davis?
Yes.
Anna Bilaska?
Yes.
Aaron Hoffman?
Yes.
Terrence Bailey?
Yes.
Christopher Marsh is absent. Joyce Kai?
Yes.
Vicki Gatanis?
Yes.
Kim Delaney?
Yes.
Michael O'Dell?
Yes.
Alex Hansen?
Yes.
Kevin Volberg?
Yes.
And Gary Dunmeyer is not back, so I'll mark him as absent from the vote. Modus Amalturk?
Yes.
Kara Ferris?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Madam Chair.
Okay. We can go back to the item that we have that was tabled and bring it back forward. We have a motion to provide a subcommittee to look at the scoring for the state road, for the state projects. We have a second by Maria. We'll do it by, I'm assuming, by voluntary to the staff, up to 7 members. Do we have any further comments on that? I believe CJ has a comment.
Yes, I was going to say he had his hand raised.
Yes. Again, I just want to suggest that, we raise the number of participants from 7 to the weak majority of the TAC members.
So if you move forward with this, you would bring it to us for a workshop. So you would have the whole board at a workshop. You wouldn't bring it as an adoption right away from a subcommittee. So I think limiting the number is fine for a subcommittee, because it will come to this board anyway for recommendation and for a workshop, I assume. So do you want to amend your motion based on the comment?
So understand,
correctly that he wanted everyone to be on the subcommittee?
The weak majority of the tech committee, which is 51%. So how many member we have in the tech?
It would be 13.
I'll accept this friendly amendment to up to 13. I don't think you're going to get 13, but
is it up?
Up to, yeah.
Up to 13.
Okay.
I accept that friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Do you accept it to modify your second?
Yes, I second that.
Okay, it's going to come back to our committee anyway for the full vote. It seems like the more that you add, the harder it's going to be to focus. But we can take the vote. So do I have any further comments on a subcommittee of up to 13 members of the TAC committee? Okay.
And Madam Chair, just for my clarification, we won't be setting the membership at this time.
I think they
want, or would you like to do,
ask for volunteers after the vote,
after
who wishes to be on the committee, and then we leave it to staff to an open period for anyone, you know, who wants to email in their request up to a time certain, as outlined by Nick.
Okay.
Maria, are you amenable to that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so I have a motion on the floor from Terrence and seconded by Maria for volunteers, which we will get after the vote, for an up to 13-member subcommittee to address recommendations for the ranking for one of the goals.
For the state road modification scoring.
State road modification.
Yeah.
Do you want to take... vote by roll?
For this one, we can do a verbal vote or we can do it by roll call. It's up to you.
Okay, let's do a roll call.
Okay. So Jim Bell?
Yes.
Maria Tahara?
Yes.
Gary Dunmeyer?
Yes.
Richard Pereira?
Yes.
Kenny Wilson is absent. Chang Jen Lan?
Yes.
Jamie Brown?
Yes.
Mike Morrow?
Yes.
Aramis Cabrera?
Yes.
Will Hicks?
Yes.
Brian Davis?
Yes.
Anna Bilaska?
Yes.
Aaron Hoffman?
Yes.
Terrence Bailey?
Yes.
Christopher Marsh is absent. Joyce Kai?
Yes.
Vicki Gatanis?
Yes.
Kim Delaney?
Yes.
Michael O'Dell?
Yes.
Alex Hansen?
Yes.
Kevin Volbrick?
Yes.
Mota Samalter?
Yes.
Kara Ferris?
Yes.
It passes unanimously, Madam Chair.
Okay. Do we have any volunteers?
So for
I volunteered.
Oh, sorry. So I have CJ Terrence, Alex Hansen, Maria Tahara. Thank you. I have Anna.
I'm happy to volunteer if helpful.
I have Kim Delaney.
Margie, you can put my name on there too.
Okay. Okay, so far I have CJ, Terrence, Maria Tahara, Anna, Kim Delaney, Alex, and Kara.
You hit seven.
Okay. And for clarification, Madam Chair, would you still like us to reach out to members? Okay.
You're fine.
So for now, this is the set, and then you want us to reach out to additional members?
Yeah, there should probably be a time. Once you have your set meeting, then you can close it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to our next item is three informational items. I'd like to invite Alyssa Frank up, the TPA Pedestrian and Bicycle Coordinator, to present the Bicycle and Pedestrian Safety Update. No, number three information.
Good morning again, everyone. My name is Alyssa Frank, if you didn't catch it earlier. And again, I'm the ped bike coordinator here at the TPA. So I have some exciting news. Senate Bill 950 passed, and this is a bill that actually addresses pedestrian and mostly bicyclist safety, but we will dive into it and go through all of the new elements that have been put into law. So this bill actually adds formal definitions for both bicycle lanes and separated bicycle lanes, and it revises the requirements for a couple different movements on the roadway, and I'll go through all of them, but just before we do that, an overview is the first movement is the driver of a motor vehicle overtaking a bicyclist. The second motion is for turning bicycles. The third is for riding two abreast on roadways, and the fourth is for cyclist groups at stop signs. Additionally, this bill also requires FDOT to have an annual awareness and safety campaign. It also requires the driver's license exam to include 25 bicycle safety questions, which again, Valerie had mentioned earlier as being one of our strategic plan items, and we have accomplished that, which is great, but I will also dive more into that. And of course, this bill went into effect on July 1st, 2021. So the new definitions as described in section 316.003 of Florida statutes defines both, again, a bicycle lane and a separated bicycle lane. So the formal definition in Florida statutes of a bicycle lane is any portion of a roadway which is designated by pavement markings and signs for preferential or exclusive use by bicycles. The definition now of a separated bicycle lane is a bicycle lane that is separated from motor vehicle traffic by a physical separator. So remember, buffered bicycle lanes have a striped marking, but this has a physical separator that is between both the bicyclist and the travel lanes. So it's all good news. Now I'm going to dive into the different movements that I was talking about. So the first one is for vehicles overtaking bicycles or e-bikes on the roadway. So this actually changed Florida Statute 316.0875, which is for no passing zones, to actually allow motorists to safely and briefly drive to the left of the center line of the roadway, so the yellow double striped line, to pass a cyclist as long as there is a minimum of 3 feet passing distance. So looking at the screen, there are two different graphics. The one on the left shows the vehicle staying a safe distance, which again is 3 feet or more behind the cyclists until they are able to pass. And then once that oncoming traffic passes, the vehicle behind the cyclist is actually allowed to, again, cross that double yellow line. And then once they are a safe distance ahead of the cyclist, cross back over, and that is them overtaking the bicyclist. So the second motion, it actually prevents right hook crashes. So this new law states that if a car, like the red car on the screen, is trying to make a right turn at the intersection or a intersection, and there is a cyclist less than 20 feet between the intersection and their location, that red car cannot make that right turn. Now, if the cyclist is 20 feet or greater amount of space away from that intersection and that stop bar, that red car can make that right turn. I'm sorry. So this is this movement. And again, this is actually designed to prevent those right hook crashes of when a car is turning right and a cyclist goes right into that. So another good one. This is another one for turning movements, and this is for cyclists turning left. So on the left side of the screen, we see a cyclist in that left turn lane. And the first part of this rule is that bicyclists making a left turn may take that entire left turn lane to make that movement. The right side of the screen shows that turning bicyclists should stay to the right edge of the roadway after crossing through that intersection. So as soon as they get through that intersection, they're not staying in the left lane. They're going all the way and riding again along that right side of the roadway. So that's what you see on the screen. You follow that green line instead of the red one. The next movement is for riding single file when there is no bicycle lane. So it just, the law now states that bicyclists must ride as close as possible to the right-hand curb or edge of the roadway, but they are able to, again, if there's no bicycle lane, ride in the roadway. Totally legal. But if there is a bicycle lane, bicyclists are allowed or have to, are mandated to ride in that bicycle lane. Now, if the bicycle lane is not narrow or not wide enough to accommodate two bicyclists riding abreast, they must ride single file. The image that we see in the top left-hand corner is not okay. Bicyclists must be in the bicycle lane. They cannot be overflowing from that. So again, if there is a bicycle lane, you can ride in there. If it's not wide enough for two people to ride two abreast, you have to ride single file. Now, if you do have a bicycle lane that is wide enough to accommodate two people riding abreast, that is okay. However, again, you are not allowed to have more than two abreast riding next to each other. So again, that graphic that we see in that top left corner, not okay. We cannot have three people outside of the bicycle lanes. We cannot have three people riding together. The maximum for two people riding next to each other is two. And again, only if the bicycle lane is wide enough for two people to be within the lines. So where can you ride more than two abreast? The only place to do that is riding on a bicycle path. So for example, what we see on the screen is actually the El Rio Trail in Boca Raton. And there are a bunch of people riding there. That is okay. But again, this is not a facility that is on road, and this is a designated bicycle facility that is not a lane. So another thing that was actually mentioned in the Senate bill was for bicycles overtaking other bicycles in the bike lane. A lot of bicycle in that sentence. So if there is a bicyclist in the bike lane that is not going as fast as you are and you are riding behind them, when there is no vehicle in the lane to the left, so in that first through lane, you are able to actually get out of the bicycle lane and into the traffic lane and pass that bicyclist. Now, after you pass that bicyclist, you actually do have to get back into the bicycle lane, because remember, as long as there is a bicycle lane, that is where you're supposed to ride. And then on the bottom part of the screen, we actually do see three different cyclists riding single file. It's just a reminder, if that's what fits, that's what fits. If it's wide enough, you're allowed to have more than single file, you're allowed to have two abreast, but in this case, only one fits, so you have to ride in that single file line. And for cycling groups at stop signs, this is a new one. So as a reminder, cyclists must obey all traffic signs, signals, all of that. If you're bicycling, you have to obey all or act as a vehicle. So cyclists must come to a complete stop at the stop sign before going through that intersection. Now, what's new is that motor vehicles are now required to allow one group of 10 cyclists to travel through that stop sign at a time. So 10 cyclists go, and then a vehicle is allowed to go and make their movement. And then the rest of that group, 10 or less, may go through that intersection. A lot of detail. But so that is this new rule. So those are the movements that I wanted to go over. But just as a reminder, this does require FDOT to launch a safety campaign, which we will be sharing when it happens. And on the screen, you'll see a couple of different examples of other safety campaigns, Red Out for Rail Safety, Don't Text and Drive, Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow. So there will be another one for these initiatives. And lastly, again, 25 bicycle safety questions on the driver's license test. That's incredible. That is something that we've been pushing for in our legislative policies and was our strategic plan item. So it's great that we've accomplished that. And with that, I do want to point out that if anyone has any additional questions, you are more than welcome to reach out to me, but also the link to the Senate bill was in the pack or is in the agenda item, and it's also available. So thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. Margie, do we have any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, I have a comment from Mo.
Just a short comment on one of your slides when you're showing a driver or a vehicle overpassing or coming a bicyclist. You had a picture of double solid yellow lines, and you are suggesting that drivers can cross them to pass. That's in violation of the law. So you probably want to get another picture where you have a broken or a center line.
Are you referring to?
Go back to the slide where you are showing the vehicle passing, overcoming.
I think she's saying that's the change in the law.
Go back again, the picture.
This one?
A picture. Yes. You are showing a vehicle that can cross a solid yellow line, double solid yellow line. That's illegal. You cannot cross, and you should not be crossing a solid yellow center line.
So that is actually the change in this law. It changed Florida Statute 316.0875, which is the no passing zone law. You are now, as a motor vehicle, allowed to cross that line if overtaking a cyclist with no bike lane.
They cover that? They specifically say that you can cross solid line?
Yes.
Oh.
Only in this condition, though. So if there is no cyclist or there is no bike lane and the cyclist is riding on the road, when there's no oncoming traffic, the vehicle is actually now able to go cross that double yellow line and overtake the bicyclist, but only in this condition.
Yeah, that's short-sighted, because imagine if you were on a curve and the driver of the vehicle cannot see far enough, then you are telling me that they are allowed to get on the opposing lane to pass bicyclists. And that's the purpose of the solid lines, is to warn drivers that, you know, the condition here is not conducive. You cannot see far enough to complete that maneuver. And that's why they put them. So that is a short-sightedness on the law.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is the Florida statute, if you would like to go back and reference. So,
John.
I just had a question. The new law deal with conditions with sharrows at all? Like in this particular condition, the bicyclist doesn't need to stay to the right side of the lane if they're in a sharrow, and then the passing, I didn't know if they dealt with that at all.
So the language within the law did not actually cover sharrows at all. It was specifically talking about bicycle lanes and separated bicycle lanes. So, yes.
Okay, I don't see any cards up.
Right,
Kevin. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think I thought that the one law rule basically said they were supposed to stay to the right side of the road, then I would think that the implication would be that if there is a Cheryl, you're still supposed to stay the right side of the road if there's vehicles traveling. And to Mo's comment, even though he's not here, the emphasis there is allow motorists to safely and briefly drive to the left of the center of the roadway. So if there's on a curve, you're obviously not going to be able to do that safely. So you're not going to make that maneuver. So I think that the law, common sensely, makes sense.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
I don't see any other committee members. We can move on to administrative items. These are informational items only. There are no staff presentations unless requested by a committee member. Do we have anyone requesting a presentation? Staff, are there any public item comments on these items?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, our next TAC meeting is scheduled for September 1st, 2021. As a reminder, you get a break in August. There's no committee meeting in August. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.